Hello and welcome to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. This is a series that shares the stories of women and men who have had breast cancer. It's also where you'll hear the voices of our nurses, researchers and experts who help to provide support for today and hope for the future to anyone affected by breast cancer.
Hello, I'm Bernadette from the research and care charity Breast Cancer Now. On today's podcast, I'm chatting with Avril from Eastbourne, who was diagnosed with breast cancer in 2015. She was 37. During treatment, Avril struggled to find the right local support services for her. She decided to use her background in technology to help broaden choices for everyone affected by cancer. Today, we'll be chatting about her experience of breast cancer and the importance of finding local community support after a diagnosis. She'll also share tips for reaching out for support after treatment ends. Avril, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Just wonder if you could briefly start by talking about your diagnosis.
Sure. So I had grade 3 invasive cancer, and I also had DCIS. And so I had a whole mastectomy, and I was very fortunate not to need radiotherapy, but I went on to have chemotherapy. When they finally told me, I genuinely thought they'd made a mistake. This was 5 months on. I had been through all the tests, nothing had really come up. My biopsy was benign, and I'd been through a wire-guided lumpectomy. You know, they were excellent at continuing to pursue because they felt something wasn't right. So by the time they said, oh, I'm so sorry, you've got invasive cancer, we need to bring you back in, mastectomy, impossible radio and chemotherapy, the first thing I did was laugh, that kind of nervous, you got the wrong results. And then the second thing was just sheer numb, you know, because you can look at their very, very serious faces and just your heart sinks and you know, and then just sheer fear takes over.
Was anyone with you when you got the news?
Yes. So my mum was with me. I know my dad would have been there too if we'd known, you know, this would have come to that point. You know, we just thought, great, we got rid of just a little pea-sized lump and everything's hunky-dory, off you go. So when Dad came to pick us up from the hospital, he could see from our faces something was absolutely awfully wrong. And I was carrying books. Actually, thank you. I was carrying your folder with all the information in it. And they drove me back to their house. I got to the doorstep and that was it. Uncontrollable tears for the rest of the night.
And how did you feel during treatment?
It's really, I think the biggest surprise for me was the change in character. You know, I was literally a different person. You could probably tell, and for those who know me, I'm more on the extrovert side of things. Not too extrovert, but I'm outgoing. I like seeing friends. I go out. I go to network events. You know, I talk a lot. And, you know, that was me. But treatment, oh, no, I retreated. I barely saw friends and family. I didn't want to talk to anyone. I hid in my parents' house. And that was it. And really, during chemo was one of the worst things. I just cried and cried. And, you know, depression is a very serious word. So I wouldn't sort of go on that. But I was heading towards that really horrific time. And it was like I couldn't control it. And it was like midway through chemo, a switch would change. I'd go, oh, there I am. I'm feeling like me again. And it's very difficult to explain. But I was a very, very different character. And, you know, for anyone that's going through it at the moment, that is absolutely okay.
So you've just touched on briefly about how you switched in your character and you felt a little bit better. Can you go into that a little bit further about how you felt differently after that active treatment ended and you started to move forward?
Sure. So I know I was probably a little bit, again, unique in the process. So just to give you a tiny bit further background. So I'd been through a marriage breakdown, the divorce that came through, then I got diagnosed with cancer. I genuinely thought my life couldn't have got any worse. You know, it literally was, there's nothing else now, really, seriously. So I think I had hit total rock bottom during chemo. I had gone through those mental things. And one of the things I did do to keep friends and family updated was I wrote a very personal blog to them whenever there was some news or I had an appointment and or I was confused. It acted as a mental release for me. It kept them updated without having to ask questions because they desperately want to know how you are, but they don't want to keep asking. So it was a really lovely way both sides without having to repeat myself.
Yeah.
So when I got through and active treatment was finished, and obviously, you know, you look at everything else going forward. I know with the charts, most people then when you try and look at new normal, hit that rock bottom. I was the total opposite.
Mm.
So long, farewell, goodbye. I couldn't get crazier. I was going out, you know, I was seeing my friends. I had my life back. It was a new opportunity. What was I going to do? You know, and I had life back in every single sense because, you know, I was starting every single angle of my life again. So I kind of turned probably a bit too crazy, but I thoroughly enjoyed myself. And yeah, I still am. So I do need to calm down.
So, I mean, it's great that you didn't experience that emotional, severe emotional dip after treatment. But was there anything physical that you were experiencing, any physical side effects that were ongoing?
Yes. So osteoporosis, you know, I remember actually through your moving forward course, actually, that I kept saying to my oncologist, you know, I've got, you know, family history of osteoporosis, you know, a bit worried. And and I remember you sort of saying it was okay to go ask for, you know, a DEXA scan before you start tamoxifen so you can kind of keep things going. I think the experience of that was quite traumatic, to be honest, because I had to push for it. And then I remember coming back from work in London very late at night. I think I got home at midnight, might have gone out for a few drinks. And I saw this envelope and I thought, what's that? And I opened it up and there's this gobbledygook in front of me of all these scans, these really weird scores, and at the bottom saying osteoporosis. And I just started bursting into tears because it was like, have I got osteoporosis? You know what I mean? My mum was an osteopeno. I'd hop, skip and a jump past her. What do you mean I've got osteoporosis? And there was no one to talk to because I was living by myself. You know, at that time, my parents were on holiday and mum knew obviously all about osteoporosis, so I couldn't ask her. And it was a very horrible weekend until I could get to the doctor or ask and phone up on Friday morning. Friday. It was Monday. What does this mean? Did you get the results? So I would say that process could be a bit slicker. I know, you know, it's no fault of anyone. It's just the way it works. But it was a real shock on my side of things. So I have a lot of tablets. Have to say, not a massive fan of the hyaluronic acid. Really don't enjoy that half an hour. It keeps moving. The day keeps moving each week because I keep putting it off. Don't tell my doctor. But, you know, do that. And then obviously the tamoxifen does affect you. I experienced anxiety attacks for the first time ever. A whole nother level that I didn't know what to do with.
Post-treatment.
Yeah, so all this stuff post-treatment suddenly came to the fore and you do have to find your way around it. And I think most people think, aha, your active treatment's finished. Good for you. Brilliant. You're back to normal. Yes, you are. But you're dealing with something that, you know, am I going to have reconstruction? Am I not? How do I deal with these tablets? You know, I keep getting heart palpitations when I sleep. You know, the anxiety then comes in. Oh, good. I've got osteoporosis. So, you know, and I'm very fortunate. I've been very fortunate with the side effects, and I know a lot of my new friends have suffered more with them. So I feel very lucky in that sense.
And in a blog you wrote for us recently, you mentioned the importance of local community support in particular and the support that it can offer you after the point of diagnosis. So I just wondered when you realised how important that access to local community support was for you personally.
Yeah, I think it was... actually, I was looking for a product. You know, I was going to lose my hair, and I was off work because I'm an interim, so I was in between contracts. And I thought, you know what, I know I can order a soft, fluffy hat from the internet, but you know what, let's go out, let's do lunch, let's try on some hats. And that literally was where it all started. So I thought, you know, I'll go to a very famous search engine, I'll type it in, and 2 hours later, I think my mum was like, step away from the computer. And I was like, why can't I find anything? And really, I started to realise that all these wonderful results kept coming back from the States. And there's nothing wrong with America. I love going there on holiday, but it really wasn't the appropriate time just to go and find a hat. So that's when I started to think, well, this is odd. Why can't I put a pin in a map and see what's around me? And then you know, in the journey, you meet wonderful people and they tell you, you know, if you so happen to meet them in that little waiting room beforehand or you haven't came in, oh, did you know about this? Oh, that's up the road. Or have you heard? And I'm thinking, this is ridiculous. You know, there's all, it exists. There's all this support and products that exist. And if you just don't know where it is or who to ask or what the keywords are, you'll never find it. And I suppose that's where it all started.
Yeah. So from that experience and that key moment where you wanted to find your fluffy hat, you went on to sometime later develop the Cancer Central platform. So can you tell us a bit about Cancer Central?
Sure. It's still very new for everyone that's going to go on there, but it's been an amazing journey. And the point of it is to create that centralized resource that connects you to those brilliant product services and support that's out there. So it's who are the hairdressers that cuts the wigs? You know, where is the local sort of respite care? What about insurance now? Where can you get that? And what options are there? You know, in our case, mastectomy bras, you know, that you get a few leaflets. Is that it? Are there any other suppliers out there? And it's about creating that choice. It's about giving you, if there's only 10 choices, you know, that's it. I think that obviously the struggles we've got is who are they? So if I may just quickly ask anyone listening, if you know of anyone, please encourage them to register for free. You know, we're here to signpost to them. And also we've got a new friends profile so you can recommend providers yourself and share events. And the beauty of Cancer Central is the way it's been built. It really is pure tech for good and everyone's coming together. To build it. So far we've received 30,000 donated hours by over 200 individuals and 30 organizations.
Incredible.
It's mind-boggling. And it's just what we wanted to do was to give everyone the opportunity to play a part in helping. So whether it's a policy, whether it's the design, whether it's the build, whether it's an idea, whether it's helping me through a workshop to work out the social media plan for the next month, you know, this is about people coming together for that next step. And the whole thing is being built through pro bono and kindness. So it's just great. It's built with a virtual assistant. She's in diapers. Av, bless her, but she can signpost to you. She's connected to the NHS. So if you ask her things like, you know, what are the treatments of breast cancer, she will respond on the website and on text now, a little beta feature that we've just put out there. So play with her, play with the site, get involved, put information in, because the more information we put in, the better we will be at connecting people to what's out there.
Yeah. Fantastic. And so obviously a digital platform like Cancer Central sounds really simple for lots of people, but for some of us who aren't confident about using the internet or just seeking out support in a physical sense at the end of treatment, I wondered if you had some top tips to make that process seem less overwhelming for those people.
And that's a really good point, you know, and I will always say digital will never, ever, ever in any circumstances replace the people, the person. And what we want to do is just help to connect you to that. I mean, as I alluded to earlier, for me personally, the best thing I did was going on your Moving Forward course. I met some fantastic new friends there. But actually one of the moments I remember the most was actually talking about how you handle the risk of reoccurrence, because you need to talk about it. You have a fear factor. You've been through it. You're terrified that it's going to strike you down again. Let's be honest. Everyone around you is terrified. So learning techniques in how to handle that or what to look out for was the most important course I'd ever been to. So thank you for putting on that course. Other things I'd recommend is there are Facebook groups and things. There are local support groups. Again, we're learning where they are. You can upload events in Cancer Central so we can find out who you are in your local area and you can go to them. I think that physical contact is really important.
Fantastic. You recently brought a lot of organisations and charities together, including Breast Cancer Now, to read lines from a poem you wrote for World Cancer Day. How did you come up with this idea for a collaboration?
It was epic, wasn't it? I'm still just digesting it all and I cannot wait to show the finished film to everybody. So I wrote, as I said, I wrote the poem a couple of years ago, but it was really at the point late last year, around sort of September, October time, I was speaking at the charity IT leaders conference, and they very, very kindly the next day in their AGM voted in Cancer Central as their not-for-profit partner of choice for this year, which was just amazing. And it was talking about how we can collaborate as an industry, you know, again, in the tech space and sort of broader. And that's when I thought, I've always wondered, you know, I've always wanted to do a bit of a Band-Aid style day, you know, and that I started asking a few people I met there, going, do you think you'd be up for it? And they went, yeah. And I suppose the more people I asked, the more people said yes. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. And then we had incredible support outside of the industry in terms of the makeup and the filming and editing and the location and the food. I mean, all those organizations, you know, sort of Morgan Hunt and House of Seville and the team at NHS Engagement and NHS UK who actually brought their incredible equipment. There was a scary moment when the van didn't turn up to pick up the equipment, but nobody knew that, so it was all right. Eventually got there. That's really where it came from, and it was just an amazing day. And I'm so grateful for everyone who took part.
Yeah, and I suppose the way that collaborative effort came together formed really strong parallels to how Cancer Central is made up. So did you kind of feel you employed the same skills while you were organizing that day?
Yeah, I mean, the whole poem's called Standing Together, and that's what it is. And, you know, actually there's Exponentially helped produce some mementos of the day. And when we were talking about it, they came up with a gift that echoes what I talk about frequently, and that's a jigsaw. So they created a jigsaw of the poem. And that's what I talk about as Cancer Central, is everyone's got a piece of this jigsaw. We just don't know what the picture is. So it's about putting that piece together. So it's very much about, come on, let's all get together. We're all here. We're standing together because there's all the support out there, and it's wonderful.
That's brilliant. So you've touched on this a little bit, but Cancer Central, as well as your poem collaboration, is a great example of how the power of community can come together for a good cause. So why did you think the poem was important to collectively share as a cancer community on World Cancer Day instead of just, you know, one person saying the poem?
For me, we all have different strengths, mm-hmm. you know, as organisations, as individuals, you know, and I think there is all this incredible support out there, and we're all supporting in different ways, different types of cancers, different steps in the journey. And that's what I want to, I suppose, in a way, celebrate. Mm-hmm. I know it's very awkward using that word, with something when you talk about cancer, but I want to celebrate the support that is there. You know, we are making amazing headway in people living through cancer. Obviously, sadly, it doesn't, you know, everyone has, you know, comes through the other side, and that's extremely difficult. But we are getting through it more. We are identifying it earlier. And that's the key. It's the identification earlier. You can deal with it and find a way through. So for me, coming all together and sharing all this is, you're not alone. It's a really, really, really difficult time when you go through cancer. You feel so isolated, whether you have family support, whether you don't have family support, whether friends have completely abandoned you, or you've got, you know, one that's there really sort of bringing in the groceries to help you. It can be an incredibly isolating time. And this is just to let everybody know we're all here.
And if you could go back in time and give yourself some advice at the point of your diagnosis, what would it be?
You know, I found this question the hardest, because I suppose, knowing what I know now, and even if I knew it was me telling myself, I wouldn't believe it. Because you're in a state of disbelief, because you are so emotional and going through about six different emotions within an hour, you can't absorb anything. I think, you know, a bit of advice is, genuinely, it's one day at a time. You know, don't try and think of months ahead. Everything shrinks down. And again, that's okay. And it's totally okay to feel how you're feeling. You know, we always feel really guilty if we, you know, if we're angry or low, you know, well, I shouldn't be showing these emotions. Actually, you need to show the emotions and get it out. And, you know, and hopefully in a safe environment to do so. But just do it. Do you know what I mean? Because you're coping with so much, and that will help you process it. also for those that are going through it, I know obviously you guys have someone like me. So if you're struggling to talk to someone, I think that's a really fantastic service that people can talk to someone who's gone through it and find that sort of confident to just have that chat to and know it's okay. I spoke to a couple of people who I knew who'd gone through it, and that process in itself really, really helped.
Thank you so much, Avril, for sharing your story with us today.
Well, thank you for having me.
We can't wait to see how Cancer Central continues to develop. For those listening, you can find Cancer Central at cancercentral.org.uk.
Thank you for listening to the Breast Cancer Now podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel on your preferred podcast service to hear our next episode. If you have any questions or concerns from listening today, you can find information on our research, services and campaigning on our website at breastcancernow.org.